Welcome to the West Virginia Soccer Association Beyond the Pitch podcast here on the West Virginia Soccer Association Digital Network. My name is Marcus Cole. Now, before we begin today's show, I just wanted to remind you that once you've had a chance to check out our program, make sure you give our podcast a 5-star rating and follow us wherever you get your podcasts. That helps you stay up to date on all the latest content from us and helps us get the word out to others and let them know that we're providing valuable information for soccer players, coaches, referees, and parents. On the phone today is Dr. Amy Bender, sleep performance specialist. Amy, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Now, before we go ahead and dive into our subject today, why don't you go ahead and give our audience a little bit of background about you and how you became such an expert on the subject of sleep?
Sure. Well, I've been an athlete my whole life. Pretty much. I played 3 sports in high school. We won state my senior year for volleyball. I ended up playing college basketball and even was able to do an Ironman and do some mountaineering as well. So sport was definitely a passion of mine. And then in my young adulthood, my aunt was a sleep technologist, and she had me come out to her lab in Portland, Oregon, and see kind of what she did, hooked up people with electrodes, saw their brain waves, looked at their breathing, and it just really interested me. So I ended up being a sleep technologist for about 5 years, and then went to graduate school, got my master's and PhD, with a focus on sleep EEG, and then was able to combine my both of my passions during my postdoc, where I studied Canadian Olympic national team athletes and their sleep and tried to optimize their sleep for better performance.
That sounds like a wonderful journey. Very exciting, to say the least.
Thank you. Yeah. And I'm currently the research scientist at Calgary Counseling Center here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, where we're looking at trying to incorporate sleep interventions for better mental health.
Wonderful. Well, why don't we go ahead and dive into our subject, Dr. Bender? First one, obviously, in our state, just specifically, soccer is suspended until the end of the month, and then we'll evaluate from that point and see where we go further. But, of course, activities across the nation, across the world, are being suspended. We're in self-isolation. Talk to us about how important it is for our soccer players to focus on their sleep patterns during this time.
This is a great opportunity for athletes and soccer players to focus on their sleep patterns so that when life resumes back to normal, you have a foundation of these sleep habits to help you meet your full potential. You know, the research shows that sleep is key for faster reaction times, better sprint times, leads to better decision-making, mood, and even learning a new skill. So these are all important for an athlete and for the soccer players that you're working with to perform well and stay in the game. So establishing good sleep habits now will help you later when you do get back to training for those important competitions and games.
Now, I know, like with my daughter, she's a soccer player. She's a high school senior, going to be playing Division II soccer next year. Her schedule is completely out of whack. Staying up late, waking up late, things along that lines. What should players be thinking about when it comes to a routine of some sort? Should they adapt to, you know, having this later, staying up and waking up later, or should they be looking towards keeping what they would be during their schools, you know, when they're in school, that kind of thing? What should they be, where should they be leaning towards?
Yes. I'll talk about the 3 keys to optimal sleep that people want to keep in mind.
Okay.
So the three, the three keys are quantity of sleep, quality of sleep, and timing of sleep. So if we break those down a bit further, starting with quantity, for, let's say, a school-age child between the ages of 5 and 12, they really should be focusing on getting 9 to 11 hours of sleep. For teens, that's going to be more or slightly less, 8 to 10. And then for young adults, we're looking at between 7 and 9 hours of sleep. Now, with this flexibility and not us not having to get up early for school, I think this is a perfect time to actually try to figure out the amount of sleep that you need to perform your best. So a way to do that would be to record when you go to sleep and when you wake up without an alarm, within reason, of course. Maybe scrap the first few days, which may be artificially high if you have a little bit of a sleep debt. And then just take your overall average over the week to kind of get that base amount of sleep that you need to perform your best. So that has to do with the quantity of sleep. But we also want to focus on quality of sleep as well. So I could tell you to get 9 hours of sleep, but if you're tossing and turning, you're not going to be refreshed. And so we want to also focus on quality of sleep. And there was a questionnaire that I developed called the Athlete Sleep Screening Questionnaire. Maybe we can put the link into the show notes. But people can go to centerforsleep.com and look for that athlete sleep screening questionnaire. And this will be a good way to gauge the quality of sleep that they're getting. And they fill out this short quiz. It then gives you recommendations based on your responses that I help put together for athletes. So that's a way for people to gauge, are you getting good quality sleep? And then the next would be timing of sleep. So you mentioned your daughter's schedules kind of out of whack. For an adolescent and those in early adulthood, they are more likely to be night owls than those who are younger. So with this flexibility, we have a bit of an advantage here. We don't want to get up at 6 a.m. as you would if you were going to school. Instead, I'd recommend to go to sleep later and sleep in later, but try and keep it very consistent. If I was designing a schedule for teens, I probably wouldn't start school until 10 a.m. And this allows teens to sleep more in line with their biology, which is built more like a night owl, with that sleepiness hormones occurring later and not for them to wake up so early in the morning. And in the research, we see there's examples of this where those high schools that start school later actually have better academic performance. They have less car accidents in the morning, and the kids have better physical and mental health.
Yeah, those I've read some of those studies, and I think they're just spot on in regards to that. I know our school district here moved their start time to 8:30. In the morning when they had to report to school. And I think it's, I mean, while obviously I probably would like it maybe a little bit later, but I think for what it's done, I think it's been beneficial, I think, to the students. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but I know at least with my daughter, I think it's been pretty beneficial.
Definitely. Any amount of laterness, I guess you could say, is going to be beneficial, even if it's a half hour. Even if it's moving it from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. or 7:30 to 8 a.m. It has to do with the fact that teens can't go to sleep early enough in order to get the amount of sleep that they need. They're just not tired early enough to be able to get up at 6 a.m. every day as an adult would.
Right. You know, the one thing I don't know, I'm sure you probably have an opinion on this. What are your thoughts on some of those, sleep devices that folks have, like a Fitbit or that track your sleep? What are your thoughts on those?
I think you have to be careful of how accurate the device is. the research in general has shown that they aren't very accurate. They are getting better, but I wouldn't put everything into what the device is telling me. I think if you're using it and, you know, it helps change your behavior, oh, it looks like I'm not getting, you know, enough sleep here, maybe I should go to bed a little bit earlier, try and sleep in a little bit later. I think that they're good in that respect, but I don't want it to start producing more anxiety. So if someone looks at their watch and they see, oh no, I got 20, you know, 10% of deep sleep last night, I'm going to, you know, perform horrible today. I think that's where the devices can be used more in a negative manner.
You bring up a great point in regards to anxiety. Obviously, you know, during this time of uncertainty, we've got players, parents, everybody a little bit anxious and about the uncertainty about what's going on in our world and how things will, quote unquote, get back to normal. You've had a series of tweets. I follow Dr. Bender on Twitter, and you had a series of great tweets about de-stressing before bed. With this uncertain time that we're experiencing, how important is this for someone to practice de-stressing before bedtime?
It's really important. It's key. We can't just sleep at the flip of a switch. It takes time for our brain and our bodies to unwind. And especially during these times where we're bombarded with different stressors, we're seeing the news, you know, which can make us more anxious and more amped up, not really knowing what the future holds. It's even more important for people to take time to de-stress and unwind before bedtime.
You know, it's funny. I always heard this research that a female's brain works a whole lot faster and stays on a little bit more, and which is the reason why maybe that they have problems sleeping compared to a male. I know, at least in my mind, I can turn off my brain pretty quickly and fall asleep. I've always been blessed to be like that. However, I do know when I am stressed about something that I can't do it. It takes so long for me to turn that off. Can you talk just a little bit about that?
Yeah, there is a greater prevalence of females to have insomnia for that reason. We just see higher rates of insomnia in females. No, I'm not sure if that's related to, you know, just worrying more. I'm not actually sure what the actual cause of that is, but you're exactly right. So stress leads to more cortisol production, which is that stress hormone, which then, you know, leads us to not being able to just relax and shut our mind down as we normally would. So that's why de-stressing before bedtime, starting with a bedtime alarm, so about 60 minutes before bedtime, before your ideal bedtime, you know, set an alarm every day to give you a signal to start turning off the social media, putting away the electronic devices, you know, start relaxing before bedtime, maybe taking a warm bath or shower, doing a to-do list, doing stretching, adding in maybe some breathing techniques are all really good ideas to make your wind-down routine a habit. And again, you know, for an athlete, you may have a nighttime competition, you may have a late game, you may be traveling and sleeping in a new environment. So having this wind down routine that you can do anywhere is going to be helpful for you to put yourself on autopilot and be able to fall asleep in any condition.
What are some other tips that people can practice for de-stressing before bed?
So in particular, I like the 4-7-8 breathing technique that I like to do right before I go to sleep. And so this breathing technique, it helps activate that parasympathetic nervous system, our relaxation system. And so you breathe in for 4 seconds, hold your breath for a count of 7, and then you breathe out for 8, and you repeat that 4 times. So that's a technique people can do. Cognitive shuffle is another technique that I like, especially if I wake up during the middle of the night and need a way to help me fall back to sleep. I'll use this technique where you think of a word such as, let's say, bedtime, and you imagine all the objects that you can, starting with the first letter of the word. So bee, ball, baby, bag, banana. When you can't imagine any more objects, you move on to the next letter, E, eagle, egg, ear. And then by the time you get to the end of the word, you'll be sound asleep. So that's a really cool technique that I like. Potentially a gratitude journal for people. So writing down some things that you're grateful for, writing a to-do list helps offload those thoughts that you have on your mind and, you know, just put them on paper right before bedtime. And then potentially reading a paper book before bedtime kind of relaxes us and helps us fall asleep quicker.
I really like the gratitude journal idea, just because I've honed in on over these past couple of weeks with, you know, the pandemic going on, is just how grateful I am for the smaller, simple things that I have. You know, I mean, I'm thankful that, you know, I still have a job. I know there's some people that have been laid off and are currently unemployed that are struggling with bills, struggling with rent, struggling with house payments, car payments, things along that lines. But I just find myself reverting back to, I'm grateful that I have my current health at the time. I'm grateful that I have a roof over my head. I'm grateful, you know, I have some food in the refrigerator and things along that lines. And I think that's important for people, no matter your situation, is just to be extremely grateful and find those things that you are grateful. And I think it puts you in a better mind frame. And like you said, just being grateful, having that grateful, journal, it can help you sleep better too as well.
Definitely. It puts you in a better mind frame. So you're not focused on the negative, but you're more focused on the positive. And so that helps you fall asleep quicker. Another technique people might want to do is to have a worry journal. But we don't want to do this right before bed. We want to do it probably at least 3 to 4 hours before bedtime. But just dedicate a time for you to, you know, journal about the worries that you have and how you might be able to solve those. And then put the journal away before bedtime, close the notebook, put it away, have a dedicated time for being able to worry.
I think you bring up another great point that you mentioned a little bit earlier. I like the idea of having sort of that alarm before you go to bed to put away the phone, put away the iPad, turn off the TV. Being isolated as much as we are as of late, obviously we're on our devices more. We go to them, whether we're, you know, binging a show on Netflix or we're FaceTiming with family or whatever. Talk to us a little bit about blue light and how it affects our sleep.
Blue light sends a signal to our brain to wake up. So blue light is the wavelength of light that our circadian rhythms are most sensitive to. And so when we're looking at those screens right before bed, or even just our overhead lights, if we're in a bright environment, it sends a signal to our brain to wake up, and it reduces our melatonin, that sleepiness hormone, that starts to get released about 2 hours before our bedtime. So it's really important to dim the light, put away those electronic devices which are emitting that blue light, potentially even add in filters for those screens, you know, such as twilight or night shift mode for Apple devices. Have those on at a minimum, but about an hour before bed, put those away so that, you know, the light isn't impacting our ability, our sleep quality in general, I would say, can impact our sleep quality. But it's also, it's not all about the blue light. It's about the interaction with the device as well. So we see something upsetting on social media, you know, that can impact our sleep. So really taking the time to put those devices away at least an hour before bedtime should be the start of your unwind routine.
That's, I think, an area that I need to work on a whole lot more in putting the device away before bed. I just can't think of anything to do before I go to bed. I mean, I may end up having to start taking a shower at night just to kind of relax things and, you know, maybe start. I've been looking a little bit into doing a little bit of meditation. I just, you know, kind of being with your thoughts and then, but sometimes I wonder if I'll get in my own head and make things worse, but.
Hey, well, I just gave you a list of 10 things you can do before bed.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I was writing them down as you were going along. So I'm thinking I need to probably try some of this stuff. Now, one of the other things too, as we kind of wrap things up here, Doctor, is sleep environment. I know sleep environment is so important. I know if I don't have the right sleep environment, I have issues sleeping. One of them, especially being my biggest trigger, is having the room cold. What are some good things that we should be practicing as athletes in regards to our sleep environment?
The thing I like to visualize with sleep environment is like a cave. So you want it cool, dark, and quiet. So you want potentially blackout blinds, blackout shades. You don't want any sources of light in your room, if possible. So getting those electronic devices out of the room is important. And then having that temperature cool. So you want it between, I think it's 62 and 68 degrees Fahrenheit. Relatively cool, because that helps us fall asleep and keep us asleep at night, because with sleep our temperature drops, so that's important to keep it cool. And then quiet, so potentially wearing earplugs may be a good idea, or potentially having even some white noise to help keep out some of those external noises. For me, I didn't really take this very seriously. I mean, being a sleep scientist, you know, you would think this would be high on my priority list, but it wasn't. You know, I had a decent sleep environment, and it wasn't until I took a trip to Golden, British Columbia, where we stayed at a friend's cabin, and it was so quiet there. My whole family slept amazing. It was so quiet. It was so dark. You would wake up in the middle of the night and you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. And it wasn't until after that trip that I figured, oh, I got a lot of work to do in this area of sleep environment. So I think this is a good opportunity for people. We're home. You know, we're able to make our sleep environment better. And so this is a good thing people can take advantage of. And for me, I think it really made a difference in my overall sleep quality.
I love how you're continuing to learn. If you could just give one final piece of advice, just one thing that our soccer players should be thinking about when it comes to their sleep routine during this time, what would that one thing be?
That's a tough one. I guess one thing that we didn't talk about yet would be getting light in the morning. So we're all kind of stuck inside. We're self-isolating. And in a lot of places, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that we can't go outside. So I would say getting light in the morning is a way to kind of send a signal to our brain that it's daytime, maybe taking a walk outside, or even going for a run, doing some of our exercise outside is really important, because it's it tells us that it's daytime. It helps us, it helps our sleep quality at night. So really trying to get outside where it's many, many, many times brighter than our indoor lighting. And for those of you who can't quite get outside, if you're really in that self-quarantine situation, potentially working towards by a window, you know, just being by a window has actually shown to improve sleep quality in people. But in general, I mean, we know how important sleep is for an athlete, how it can help with performance, decision-making, reaction time. So I would say really try and establish those good habits now while we have this flexibility, which will hopefully lead to a foundation of great habits when we really need it, when we're training hard and competing.
Wow, that's great. That's wonderful. And I'm so glad you brought up the sunlight thing there. That's definitely something I really think is extremely important. If somebody wanted to find out more about you, Dr. Bender, or wanted to follow you on Twitter, where can they find out more about you?
So I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Sleep4Sport. That's the number 4. I'm also working on getting a website up and running, sleepwelltowin.com. Not quite there yet, but I'm working on that.
Wonderful. She's a wonderful follow. Lots of valuable information. And, you know, one thing I always tell my kids about sleep is it can really be a game changer for an athlete. It's one of those control the controllable type of things, you know, that along with your nutrition, your hydration, but your sleep as well, that could give you that advantage over your competition. I really believe that.
Yeah, thank you. I second that thought right there. It's a game changer for people.
Well, Dr. Bender, I certainly appreciate you coming on your show today and sharing your expertise for all of our folks here in West Virginia. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening to the West Virginia Soccer Association Beyond the Pitch podcast here on the West Virginia Soccer Association Digital Network. Now that you've heard our show, make sure you give our podcast a 5-star rating and follow us wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next Thursday with another episode, so we hope to see you next week. Take care.